While initially described as the great equalizer, it quickly became clear in the spring that COVID-19 has not affected all Americans equally, with certain communities disproportionately suffering because of the pandemic. In light of this experience, Governor Andrew Cuomo has pledged that the same mistakes aren't repeated with the vaccinations for the virus, and to that end, he has empowered a task force to come up with an operational logistical plan to ensure that communities ravaged by the pandemic, often communities of color, poor neighborhoods, and rural areas, aren't left behind now. To discuss the state's vaccination effort and the work of New York's Vaccine Equity Task Force, we're joined now by one of the group's co-chairs, Marc Morial, the former mayor of New Orleans and current president and CEO of the National Urban League, the nation's largest historic civil rights and urban advocacy organization, which is headquartered in New York City. Welcome to the show, Marc.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So you have a very ambitious mandate from the governor coming up with a quote-unquote operational logistical plan. From your perspective as a co-chair of the task force, does that mean you'll be working on a broad sort of 10,000-foot view set of principles, or do you think you're writing a very specific distribution plan for New York?
I think our role is to provide broad recommendations and advocacy around a plan that essentially is going to be put together by the governor's team. Here's what the starting point is. The governor determined maybe about 6 weeks or 2 months ago that the Trump administration's vaccine distribution plan relied heavily on hospitals, chain pharmacies, and doctors. Instinctively, I think he recognized that that type of plan was a formula for failure because the plan mirrored the testing plan that the Trump administration had rolled out. So in conversations with me and I think with several others, he sought our feedback, and my feedback was fairly immediate that a vaccine distribution plan in New York State and in New York City had to include multiple sites, schools and, if you will, community centers and libraries and university campuses and community college campuses where the vaccine could be administered so that you don't try to force everyone into a hospital or into a doctor's office or into a Walgreens or CVS or Duane Reed or some community pharmacy. Certainly all of those places should be places where vaccines can be accessed, but they shouldn't be the sole places where vaccines should be accessed. Now, in order to do that, it requires money and it requires a plan. I think recently you've seen the governor put some pressure on hospitals and others, on local governments, to more quickly, if you will, deploy the vaccine. And I support the governor's sense of urgency, the governor's sense of purpose behind this, because not a day goes by when I don't have folks who calling the Urban League and asking where and when can I access the vaccine? Because while there are those who are hesitant, there are many who are ready, willing, and able. And the challenge is that this is taking place within a presidential transition period. I have had a number of discussions with the Biden Vaccine Task Force, and I think they're very, very inclined to believe that a community-based distribution effort is what is in order. But they're behind the curve because the Trump plan, which should have included those elements and which could have included those elements had there been an effort to secure feedback and recommendations from people in the community, does not include it. So now after many, many months of developing a plan that focuses on the delivery of vaccines to doctors and hospitals and chain pharmacies, you've got to, in effect, redirect the Titanic to a broader, if you will, community-based distribution effort. That's number one. Number two, we have to meet people who are reluctant, who are hesitant, who are concerned with taking the vaccine where they are, and then provide them with the best information to try to secure their confidence and give them the information they need to make an intelligent choice about the vaccine. That's the second thing. So the Trump administration and the NIH and the FDA have not rolled out much of a public education campaign to talk to people, to share information with people, to give people, if you will, a background on the process for the development of the vaccine, so that some of their concerns and some of their fears can be squarely addressed.
We're speaking with former New Orleans mayor and current president and CEO of the National Urban League, Marc Morial, who is one of the four co-chairs on Governor Andrew Cuomo's task force convened in December to ensure an equitable distribution of the COVID-19 vaccine in New York. So you outlined a lot of points there, and I want to start with the healthcare facilities. And obviously in areas where they're essentially healthcare deserts, relying on hospitals or pharmacies to distribute the vaccine means it's important to have other ways of getting people access to a vaccine. But in areas that do have hospitals and do have pharmacies, why shouldn't those be the primary locations for people to get vaccinated? I mean, even in those cases, should there be a heavy amount of community outreach?
I do, because I don't think they have the capacity. One of the things we want to avoid, if we can, is the indignity of long lines, the indignity of waiting for hours to get the vaccine. So I don't think that even in those areas where there are hospitals and pharmacies, those hospitals and pharmacies have the capacity to achieve what we're trying to achieve. This task is a task to ideally vaccinate the entire American people, the entire population of the nation, and in New York, the population of the state. So there is no doubt that allowing chain pharmacies and hospitals to administer the vaccine and doctors who do that kind of work to be able to do it is important. But I just don't think it's large enough. I don't think they have the capacity. Consider the fact that we're trying to vaccinate, let's say conservatively, 200 million, aggressively 300 million Americans. That's a tall order to do in a 6 to 8 month period if we're going to get to the point where people feel safe enough to significantly reopen the economy at full speed, and so that people can go back to living their lives in a more normal way. So this is about the capacity of those hospitals and those chain pharmacies to administer the vaccine, but that their work should be supplemented by some of these other institutions that I think are ready, willing, and able. They don't have the nurses and the doctors. They'd have to be provided by the healthcare system, but they do have the facilities, and they do have the space. And to me, that is what is so crucial to making sure that this works.
Well, when you say space, what type of community locations outside of healthcare facilities and pharmacies make sense to you?
Schools. I got my polio vaccination many, many years ago at a school around the corner from my grandmother's house. Schools, libraries.
I mean, schools, though,
just
to mention schools, though, I mean, they don't even like being the site for polling places one day a year. So why would they want to be vaccination sites?
I think because they have the best interest of the community at heart. I mean, this has to be an all-hands-on-deck effort. This can't be you be responsible for it. After all, the sooner the teachers get vaccinated and the kids get vaccinated, the easier it is for education to resume. We have fallen behind. Many kids have not had the wherewithal to participate in the educational experience by way of virtual learning. Many kids have completely dropped out of the education system. It's been tough on teachers, tough on administrators, tough on parents. So all of these steps to quickly administer the vaccine on a broad basis. Let's keep in mind the objective, the goal, the long run, is to get as many Americans vaccinated, to get as many New Yorkers vaccinated as quickly as possible, as safely as possible, and as humanly possible.
In previous interviews, you've said it's important to arm people with accurate, truthful, and transparent information about the vaccine. But often, even when people are presented with truthful information, it's not accepted because of who the messenger is. So who are the right people to deliver information about a vaccine?
I think doctors. I think scientists. I think people who whose work it is to develop, to evaluate, to administer vaccines are the best, if you will, first-line messengers. Now, more prominent people in the community can be validators, corroborators, people who amplify that message. But that primary message, I think, for Black people, comes from African-American doctors. For Latinx people and for other communities of color, comes from people that people are inclined to trust. We've done some polling, some researching, and it pretty much says that people want to hear from medical professionals. And I've encouraged those who've expressed to me a reluctance to take the vaccine. My recommendation is if you have a primary care physician or a doctor, consult them. Don't make the decision only in your head based on what you see on TV, based on what you see on social media, or based on what someone told you. Someone in your family who may be well-meaning, but who's not trained in this field.
In terms of getting that message out there, though, how do you ensure that you're getting it to people? What do you see as the best way to mount that type of persuasion campaign?
I think you got to use radio, television. I think you need to have trusted voices doing radio commercials, or radio interviews, television interviews. I think social media is a big part of it. I think this is not unlike many things we do. The American people respond to strong messages delivered by strong messengers.
Do you think it mattered that the first person to get vaccinated in New York was a woman of color in terms of that optics game and that, you know, persuasion?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think that demonstrating that she was comfortable enough to do it certainly sends a message. And I think as people see people in their family, in their professional circles, in their social circles, in their neighborhoods receive the vaccine, they're going to be more inclined to think about it. But I want people to be informed. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking questions. I think that reluctance, which is based on concern for one's own health and safety, is not a negative. The question is, how do we respond? How do we overcome it? How do we give people the information they need? Some people want to know how the vaccine was developed. What is a clinical trial? What are the materials that are used on the vaccine? What are the side effects of the vaccine? Well, those are legitimate questions that one would ask any physician or any doctor before they took any form of medicine or medical therapy.
And after a quick break, we'll continue our discussion with Mark Morial, co-chair on a state task force convened to ensure widespread distribution of the COVID-19 vaccine, especially to communities of color, poor neighborhoods, and rural areas.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.
We're continuing our conversation with former New Orleans mayor and current president and CEO of the National Urban League, Mark Morial, who is one of the four co-chairs on Governor Andrew Cuomo's task force convened to ensure an equitable distribution of the COVID-19 vaccine in New York. It's been about 2 weeks since the governor tapped you to lead this equity task force. What's the status of the task force now? For instance, have you met with the co-chairs? Have there been any sort of meetings with the broad board?
The co-chairs have met. I think we have another meeting in the next few days where we're going to be talking. And we talked about a range of ideas and a framework for the recommendations that we want to make. I mean, I think it's fair to say that what I have shared with you today, I'm confident will be incorporated into the recommendations that the task force will make to the governor. We continue to look for the best ideas and the best approach. This is a really a good faith effort. I think Missing Link is a messaging and an advertising campaign. There's new money in the most recently passed Federal CARES Act that could assist with this. At our next meeting, I hope to get a status update on what the status of that money being received by people here in New York.
Do you anticipate the work of the task force?
The New York State government.
Do you anticipate that the work of the task force will be ongoing, or do you have a specific due date in mind for completing your work?
Well, I think our real work is at the beginning to shape a plan, and then our work is to advocate for the plan. And to the extent that we can help encourage or help develop the type of connections for the execution of the plan. But I think that I think our work is primarily at the front of the process, but we'll do as the governor desires. I think we all appreciate the leadership he's provided on COVID. It's been substantial. It's been recognized all over the nation. He's been serious about it. He's been no-nonsense about it. He spent a lot of time, you all are there in the Capitol. I don't see other elected officials around the country doing the kind of deep, deep, deep public conversations and explanations and presentations that Andrew Cuomo is doing. I was traveled over the holiday in a number of communities, and clearly you had people who were in the dark in their own community about the vaccine, about where the how the COVID numbers are derived, what the ratios are for opening and closing. And so I think the governor has really, really stepped up in an important way to provide a very valuable public service, not only to the people of New York, but in those days when he was being carried by CNN every day, to the people of the nation, to help them understand this very dangerous pandemic.
Governor Andrew Cuomo has a history during his 10-plus years in office of creating task forces, blue ribbon commissions, and special panels that are often sidelined or forgotten. How do you ensure that your task force actually influences state policy? How do you make sure that he's just not...
I only agree to do this if this is going to be a serious effort. I have no time for window dressing. I have no need for resume padding. My only interest, and I said this to the governor and his team, I'm in if this is serious. I'm in if we have a meaningful role. So far, I believe we do. If at any moment I feel like we don't, then I would no longer participate.
As part of the effort to increase access to vaccines, the state's planning on using community vaccination kits. This type of vaccination distribution would be quite different than what we're seeing right now. Have you gotten any sort of additional information beyond what the governor sort of laid out in late December about these kits, about how they would work and where they might be deployed?
No, I have not. And certainly I'll raise that at our upcoming discussion. I think we have a discussion in the next few days.
There's legislation floating around the Capitol which would empower health officials to mandate COVID-19 vaccinations if it's determined that not enough New Yorkers are getting vaccinated to achieve herd immunity. Do you think that's a wise use of the state's powers?
I think it's premature. I think it's premature. I have a lot of trust for people. I think if they're given information, if they're given access, many will choose. The question of whether we should mandate it is a question really for public health officials. And I think it may be a little bit premature to have that discussion right now.
Before the governor,
that discussion may come.
Before the governor announced his vaccine equity task force, a group of black leaders, including yourself, announced they would be creating another task force in New York to improve COVID-19 vaccine delivery, equity, and education. Is this task force still proceeding? Are you still a member of it?
That task force is still proceeding. I'm still a member of it. It's been covered by one of my senior executives, and there's a great deal of synergy and similarity between these two task forces, and I think many of us want to see, not necessarily see them consolidated, but ensure that we're not working at cross purposes.
And finally, Governor Andrew Cuomo wasn't the only person to publish a book during the pandemic. You also released your own reflections on leadership in a book called The Gumbo Coalition. Are there any lessons in there that you think can be applied or are being applied already to the vaccine distribution in New York?
I'll tell you one lesson. I have a lesson in there on how not to be paralyzed by the unexpected. And I think what we saw on the national level is Donald Trump became paralyzed by a crisis. He saw the crisis of COVID. He was not sure-footed in how to deal with it. He decided to fight against it as though it were some intentional act by a political opponent. My book talks about how to avoid being paralyzed by the unexpected, how you have to see it and you have to adjust to it. But I also think that broadly, a big feature of my book is the necessity of a plan, a comprehensive plan. Right now, what the nation needs and what New York needs is a comprehensive, well-thought-out plan to distribute the vaccine. I don't think the Trump administration is leaving us with a comprehensive plan. I think they're leaving us with a half-baked plan, a quarter-baked plan, which doesn't go far enough to ensure. We would be years and years and years if we relied solely on drugstores and hospitals to administer this vaccine. So much needs to be done. My book has, I think, many, many lessons. And one of the lessons is about planning and knowing how to modify the plan. Biden administration, Governor Cuomo and the state, are forced to have to modify the inadequate plan that's being left behind by the Trump administration. And that modification process, I think, is underway. It can't happen quickly enough. We know that time is sensitive, and the matter is urgent.
Considering the urgency, though, the governor named this equity task force in December. We know that there have been efforts to work on a vaccine since the virus first emerged. Is this not timely? I mean, should he have done this back in June? I mean, should this have been done months and months ago?
It's easy to sort of second guess. I think there was a reliance that Operation Warp Speed and the NIH and CDC, who took the leadership to both fund, in many instances, the development of the vaccine, and who have the statutory responsibility to coordinate and carry out the distribution of the vaccine. I think the governor reacted when he learned through a number of sources that the vaccine distribution plan was inadequate. He actually called me on a Sunday morning. About 7:30 a.m., it was an early call. And shared with me, he says, I have a concern. He says, tell me how you feel about this. He told me what it is. I said, well, that's not going to work. He says, that's what I thought. He says, that's the plan they're coming down with, and it's going to cause a problem. It's not far-ranging enough. And I said, yeah, we need community-based distribution. I remember the polio vaccine distribution system of many, many years ago. I was a very, very small child. Faint memories, but I do remember where I went to get the vaccine at a public school around the street from my grandmother's house, because I remember standing in the very hot sun in New Orleans for probably about an hour in order to get the vaccine. So importantly, I think the timing of the task force was connected to the reality of learning that the administration's rollout plan was inadequate.
Besides that telephone call that you mentioned that the governor made to ask about the vaccine distribution plan, has he been in contact with you during the pandemic
talked to each other. Yeah, I've talked to him a couple of times, and then we saw each other in person at Riverside Church. May have been, late November, early December? I'm trying to remember exactly when it took place.
And thinking about your experience as a mayor, I'm curious, obviously New York City is a little bit larger than New Orleans, but
big.
Yeah.
Big.
What are some of the logistical challenges that a mayor like that has to go through that maybe we're not thinking about in our day-to-day coverage?
The logistical challenges are difficult. I mean, because of the size of New York, the fact that we're in this pandemic and it needs many places are not open and closed down. And the challenge of New York with the multiple cultures and multiple languages mean that a community-based distribution plan is going to have to have many elements and nuances. and it is difficult, and it takes a tremendous amount of resources. But again, you know, I'm certain it would be surprising to me if the public health authorities have not anticipated. I flagged this issue in May, April and May, in some discussions, and you know, my hat on as a mayor, I was always thinking down the line ahead, and I would have said, look, we know this is coming. Why don't we start working on it now? Why don't we start planning for it now? Why don't we figure out how we do this now? So you've got, what, 9 million people in New York? You've got mega boroughs like Queens and Manhattan and Brooklyn. You have got to mobilize all of these resources and mobilize the people, because to administer vaccines, you need nurses, you need nursing, you need nurse practitioners, you need physician assistants, you need licensed medical professionals in order to be able to do this. So this is a tremendous order, tall order, in order to be able to do this. And I think that to some extent, local government has, you know, one of the challenges states and cities face is if you're going to do a broad-based community vaccine effort, you need money. That money, given the times we're in, has to come from the federal government.
We've been speaking with former New Orleans mayor and current president and CEO of the National Urban League, Marc Morial, who is one of the four co-chairs on Governor Andrew Cuomo's Equity Task Force, which has been tasked with ensuring that communities of color, poor neighborhoods, and rural areas have access to a COVID-19 vaccine. Marc, thanks so much for making the time, and good luck with your work on the task force.
Really appreciate you. Look forward to speaking to you again.
You've been listening to the Capitol Press Room, which you can take with you on the go wherever you download podcasts. Our engineer in Syracuse is Dave White. My producer in Albany is Tim Williams. I'm David Lombardo. Thanks for listening.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.